Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 70th Berlinale. I'm in company of Nanette Burstyn, who presents in Berlinale special a documentary series, Hillary, on Hillary Rodham Clinton. You're showing so many faces of Hillary. What is the first thing, the first idea you had of her before meeting her?
You know, I thought she was someone that I admired, that she was, I thought she was a good senator. She was senator for my state. I appreciated her as a first lady of trying to take a different kind of role than first ladies, you know, doing something more substantive, like pursuing universal health care. And I appreciated that she was the first woman to, you know, be a major candidate for the presidential election. But I, like many Americans, also thought, well, you know, she might be a bit inaccessible and controlling, and is she good on the stump? And so I had a variety of opinions on her. I mean, I certainly supported her as a candidate. I wanted to see a woman win. I generally agreed with her politics. But when I got to know her and make this film, I realized that her personality was different than the personality that me and many Americans had seen her and viewed her and observed her prior to that.
How hard was it for you to be a real documentarist and keep a distance?
Yeah, I mean, look, we all as documentarians come to the table with our preconceived notions, but we work very hard to do all the research possible and make sure that we are honest and get it right. And you know, if our subjects have flaws or not to misconstrue any situation, it's, you know, and with this particular subject, because of the issues at hand and the visibility that she's had in our public life in America, I felt, you know, I felt like, wow, this is hard to really get right. There's so many different opinions and variables. And so I just had to read a ton and watch so much news and of that time period. And just, it was an enormous amount of research. Because even though I'm not the voice of reason with a narration, you know, what you choose to put in the film of your talking heads has an ultimate effect on this. How you shape the story. So, you know, there's some things people say, you're like, yeah, I don't really believe that or agree with that because of the research that I did. So that very much weighs into it.
What was your very first impression when you met her?
I liked her. I mean, it was in a room full of people. There were the producers were there and the network Hulu was there and Huma was there but she seemed very approachable and very talkative and opinionated about the election. And we had a good rapport right away, which is why I think she ultimately felt comfortable with me making the film. So I had heard, you know, and it's funny because I include this in the film. I had heard from people, oh, she's much different in private than she is in mm-hmm. public. And I think that's becoming less true because now in public you're seeing this other side of her. But I think up until that point, that was true, that she didn't feel comfortable always being herself publicly because you have to be careful about everything you say when you're running for office because it's taken out of context and judged this, you know, in every news headline across the country. I don't even know how people deal with that. I can't imagine. You know, when I sat down to interview her, I wasn't sure how candid she would able to be. And it did take a little time for her to get used to the process and being able to let her guard down in the way that a lot of people do when they sit down for an interview, especially someone who's had to be more guarded their whole life. And so I was surprised that she was able to get there and really describe her feelings. And, you know, time is on your side when you end up doing days worth of interviews because it gives people a chance to, you know, get comfortable, develop a rapport, and most of all, seeing that you're not going for some gotcha moment, you know, that you're not trying to lead them in a certain direction to be like, ah, caught you, you know, that you're really just wanting to hear their story and their opinion. And that, I think, is helpful and puts people more at ease.
What was the most difficult part for you to ask her about? Maybe the whole Monica Lewinsky case?
Yeah, I think asking about her private life was difficult for her and for me. Yes, it was intimidating, knowing that, you know, that's hard for anyone to talk about on camera. So that, yes, that was the most difficult part for both of us.
In the first episode, there's a moment that is kind of tackles like a, let's say, universal discussion about politics, because I think it's her campaign manager that is talking about her maybe her defect and something that she's good at, but at the same time it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, and I found that that could be like our problem, like high universal problem. I think people still want to hear things like very simple.
They do. So yeah. So Bernie Sanders is giving a message, just saying free health, you know, healthcare for everyone, which for, you know, in Europe is normal, but in the United States is still a scary prospect. Our free education for everyone, also just, you know, terrifying for people, but also very exciting for people, especially young people. Now, he never tried to explain how he would do this at all, but people didn't want to get into the details. Like, just tell me you're going to do it. She is a policy wonk. So she would give these long speeches about how you, so we take it from here and we do this kind of funding streaming and we, you know, give this kind of loan and then they pay back part of it and you just lose people. And she knows that she does that, but she still feels like she has to do it because otherwise she is... she's selling people a load of goods. She's not. She's being a snake oil salesman, and she has what she calls the responsibility gene, where she can't do that. Now, that may be true, but that's very hard to win an election that way.
Yeah,
people just want clear, clean, quick ideas that you can post on social media and be done with it. And that is very hard if you're a policy wonk to do.
Yeah, that's something that doesn't only happen in the U.S. I mean,
everywhere, and especially in today's
today's
world where, you know, everything is so quick and it's all about, you know, a quick tweet on social media or a quick clip. You know, you just need clear, clean ideas.
How do you think the sexism, sex and gender impacted on her career and her views on politics and her as human being?
Yeah, I mean, so much of the series is actually about that. It is about how, you know, she was both influenced by her gender and the source, you know, her various circumstances that she had to face, and how she actually changed gender roles in the course of her career, you know, a bit at a time, you know, and everything is two steps forward, one step back, or maybe one step forward, two steps back a time. You know, you see it in the beginning, like when she's a kid and she runs for president of her class and always the boy wins. She didn't win, but then the boy asked her to be the secretary and do all the work, which is, you know, sort of being Secretary of State for Obama in a way. It's like comes full circle. You know? So, I mean, some things have changed, some things haven't. And, you know, that was why I wanted to do her story, you know, her biography as opposed to just an election film, because I felt like there were so many circumstances in her life that helped us understand gender in the various ways, both in obvious ways, like, oh, women are, you know, can't go to law school, or, you know, you need to take your husband's name when he's governor. You can't have your own maiden name, or, you know, hold an umbrella over his head when he's running and don't speak out too forthright about your own opinions. To now, where, okay, now a woman can run for president, but how is she judged? How does she speak? Is she shrill? Should she smile more? I don't really like her, but I don't know why. Or I'd vote for a woman, just not that woman. And then that woman never happens, materializes. You know, there were six women running this time, and none of them were that woman. Or they were all that woman, I guess to say. Like, no one was appealing. And so, you know, that was her story lent itself to making a great opportunity to try to understand that.
She's a person who can adapt and accept criticism. She tried to change so many times and answer to those, let's say, requests. But do you think that sometimes now, or at least now, she thinks that since she can't please anybody, everybody, and some people still don't like her, maybe she could have done less efforts or sacrifices?
Right. So, you know, I think she has this, and this is in the film, she has this motto that she has really subscribed to, which I can understand, where she says, you know, you can take criticism, but don't take it personally. So understand where the criticism is coming from. Is it because they're partisan or they want to bully you? Or do they actually have something valuable to say that you can learn from? But don't take it to heart, because then you'll never do anything. You won't get up in the morning. You won't try to become president of the United States. So I think she's always been of the opinion that, yes, I know that no matter what I do, people are going to criticize me, and especially if I am pushing boundaries that are making people uncomfortable. But that's, you know, that doesn't mean you should not do it.
Do you think that if she could change something from her past, what do you think she would change?
I don't, you know, that's a good question. I'm sure I asked her that six times. I mean, some of it is the circumstances around it, like the Russian involvement. Maybe she felt like she should have gotten that out more publicly. I think she regrets, not having used the government email server. Not that she thinks she did something wrong, but because of the noise it created later, that was incredibly regrettable and just got in the way of her entire election. Perhaps she, you know, thinks optically it was a mistake to do some of these speeches for Wall Street. You know, all these things that can then later be used to attack you and come back and reflect on you. I think those were, in hindsight, you know, regrettable actions.
It is even possible in her case that the fact that she was always connected to her husband might have affected her elections.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there was a fear of a Clinton dynasty, for sure. I think a lot of the behavior, both personal and professional, that he had was then reflected on her. I know that, you know, when Trump was being criticized for his behavior towards women, it was hard for her because to go after him too much, because he was using her own husband's behavior to deflect from that. So yes, I think that, and I really do try to show that in the film, that you know, while they have a partnership, it's hard when your husband's been very much in public life and choices that he made get reflected onto you.
Did you try to find out how much of an influence she had on Bill Clinton's presidency?
I did, and I hope that comes across in the film, that they were very much political partners, and certainly she was a big advisor to him. At the end of the day, he's still the president and makes the final decisions about things. And especially after healthcare tanked, I think she got less involved in the front line of certain decisions and tried to take more of a role internationally because she had created too much noise.
And we've been talking to Nanette Burstein, director of the documentary series Hillary, screening in Berlinale Special at the 70th Berlinale. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.